You just like can't know when you start your journey what will happen. Like you just can't plan, you know? Like so many more doors open and people come into your life, and as you like are connecting with a deeper version of yourself too, it's like you're peeling off the layers that you, the personas and the layers that you thought you that were important, you know, and you're connecting with your actual deeper interests. So, yeah, that's so wonderful.
That's Alison Felice, and this is the On Design podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the On Design podcast. I'm your host, Justina Green. Welcome back if you're a regular listener, and hello to all the new listeners. It's great to have both of you here. Today we're off to San Francisco for a chat with an illustrator I love, and I absolutely could not wait to have a conversation. My guest today is Alison Felice, who's a freelance illustrator, and she's also a designer and a fellow podcaster. Alison's podcast is called The Friendly Unknown, and it's absolutely brilliant with a host of thoughtful chats with other creatives. Definitely give it a listen. I will add a link to it to the show notes. And Alison has a wonderful style of illustration, which is colorful, very graphic, and it explores our inner and outer worlds. In our conversation, we talk about how she got into illustration, and about those precarious first years when you just keep sending emails into the abyss without any responses. We also talk about Alison's work and her interests in psychology and philosophy, and how her practice has evolved in the past few years. She also, in this episode, she also reveals her new project, which is super exciting. So here we go, enjoy our conversation. So I'm super excited to have you on, because as we were just chatting before we started to record, like we know each other on Instagram, we've heard each other because we listen to each other's podcasts, but we've never actually chatted. So this is quite nice, quite new, isn't it?
I know, it's so funny because we were just saying how we're used to each other's voices, but we've never actually had a conversation. But yeah, I know your voice very well in your podcast. I'm super excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you as well, because also what I found when I was listening to your podcast, I was getting so connected to you and everything you were saying. And as soon as there was Ram Dass mentioned, I thought, oh, I found the one, you know, I found a podcast that kind of talks about the spiritual, the unknown, and illustration, and is a podcast and is female. So yeah, I've really kind of loved all the episodes, and I'm really curious to dive into your work and kind of what you've been up to. And I think the first question, it almost kind of has to be, kind of, how have you been? How have the past 2 years been for you?
Yeah, I'm good. I have grown so much in the past 2 years. So for those of you who don't know, I have a 2-year-old baby, Felix. I guess he's not a baby anymore. So yeah, becoming a mom and everything that comes along with that is totally life-changing in wonderful ways and hard ways. And so yeah, the last 2 years have just like cracked me open, and I feel like I'm a deeper version of myself. So yeah,
that can only be a good thing, right?
Yes, it's I feel like the path to get here was pretty hard. I went through some postpartum depression, and just it was a big adjustment, but I'm very thankful for where I'm at right now. So
Sorry to hear that,
but I know that like it was all for something, you know. But yeah, it's a struggle to go through. any sort of depression or anxiety is tricky.
Yeah, sure. I think it's been just so much more of it as well in the past 2 years. For everybody, with kind of how we've been and kind of pre-pandemic, were you a very sociable person? Would you be kind of out or seeing people, or are you more?
I'm definitely an introvert. Yeah. So you know, it's interesting, like becoming a parent during the pandemic, there was less FOMO, I guess, because everyone sort of had to stay inside. Because when you're when you have a newborn, you're just snowed in pretty much. You're inside all the time. And it can feel pretty isolating. So that was one aspect that I think helped with the pandemic, even how horrible it was. Everyone sort of was like inside, and I think like I felt less isolated.
But and also, since now the lockdowns been lifting, or
it's America's weird. Like we still have so many cases, but it's like the lockdowns are lifted, and we still have to wear masks. I'm in San Francisco, so like we still have a lot of rules, like, to protect us, so we still have to wear masks inside, and but yeah, it feels like a little bit of a return to normal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, it's confusing.
Yeah, because then there's a question if the normal is there, you know, if you want to return to how things were, and of course your life has changed so much,
yeah,
that it's almost is it almost irrelevant, kind of, the what used to be.
Yeah, a big part of the lesson in becoming a mom was like letting go of who I was. I think I was really trying to hang on to that. And part of the suffering I went through was just learning that I have to become a new person, you know, and I'm the same person, but it's like, I just have to let go of the life I had before and just embrace the new reality. So yeah, like that's been a big lesson for me this year.
That's really interesting. Because we might get into letting go more kind of in terms of your work and kind of where it stems from as well. Mm-hmm. So for the listeners who don't know your work, are you able to tell us what it's about, kind of what it looks like?
Yeah, it's, so I do illustration, and it's like, just to describe the style, it's sort of like black outlines with bold colors. And I feel like the theme I'm always trying to like tackle is kind of like the unknown, or like the inner and outer worlds. A lot of it is I'm trying to illustrate things that are invisible, I guess, like anxiety or fear, and like what symbols do you use for that? So that's like a lot of fun for me to try to like create imagery around that. And I was mainly an editorial illustrator, so I would do work for newspapers and magazines and websites and different publications, but that all changed when I became a mom, and like it's just I know like some people can still freelance when they become parents, but for me, just the deadlines and the amount of rush for each project, I couldn't do it. I actually like did a few projects and was just so stressed out. And if Felix didn't take his nap, or if, you know, he didn't sleep long enough, I would kind of be a mess. I'm like, I have this deadline, I have to get it done. When am I going to work? And so I just decided that I didn't want to live that way. I didn't want to be that stressed out and anxious about Felix, you know, sleeping 30 minutes less than I had planned. So I made a podcast instead. And that was called The Friendly Unknown. And so I did 18 episodes of that, which was amazing. As you know, like podcasts are super fun. But they're also a lot of work.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's on pause right now while I work on a bigger project that I've been working towards for the last few years. So that stars have sort of aligned on that. And since I just have such limited time, I sort of have to focus on one thing at a time. And so I'm working on that right now.
So I thought, you know, we'll chat about it kind of towards the end of the pod, but since we're here, I think you're touching on something very interesting, where it's choosing the work that suits your lifestyle. And editorial is just really well known for rush deadlines and really quick turnarounds. So I think it's really admirable that you kind of were in tune with yourself enough to notice how it makes you feel and to actually say no, because I think it's quite easy to kind of go with it and just become that stress ball and never stop.
Oh yeah, thank you for saying that. I definitely was that stressed out person right before I had Felix. Like even like a month before I had him, I was working on super intense deadlines and I just like hit a wall and was so burnt out. And I think like having a baby forced me to stop and slow down and like reevaluate things. So I think like I would have just probably kept going had I not become a mom. And I'm so grateful for being able to do editorial illustration and like build a career. Like that was my dream. And I was able to sort of reach that goal. And, but it got to a point where I was just kind of saying yes to everything. And then I wasn't like loving my work because I was so busy and I didn't really have any breaks and I didn't have any boundaries and I was working nights and weekends. And, so I really needed a break and I really needed to like think about why I was being called to be an illustrator and just like think about the bigger picture and how it all fits together.
Have you found the answer to that?
I think that's like a constant thing I'm, you know, exploring. I think like right now it's like marrying my illustration with my other passions, which is like the other thing I'm obsessed with is like psychology and spirituality and personal growth. So for a while I've been like, why, like, how do these things connect? And so what I'm working on now is that sort of the first connection project, I guess.
So tell us about this project.
it's a deck of cards. So it's like a kind of like a tarot or an oracle deck, but it's like a self-coaching deck. So it's sort of everything I've learned the last 4 or 5 years and sort of putting it all together in this project. So it's like an illustration with a description and like a guidebook. So you can like pick a card and it could be your intention for the day or the week or the month. And I feel like when I work on it, I'm sort of able to transcend where I'm at right now and sort of tap into like a higher version of me where I like have more sage advice, I guess, because it's definitely like, I think I will be using it and like, oh yeah, that is like good advice. Like I will need this.
It's interesting because that just crossed my mind. If, you know, you're creating the work that you want and that you need.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly.
A lovely place to be in, because although it's work, you're helping yourself in the process as well and you're growing in the process.
Yeah, I'm pretty much making this for me. Well, for me right now, it's like the deck I would want to see in the world, but it's also like it would be like a guide for me like 4 years ago when I was sort of like quitting my job as a designer and becoming an illustrator and just jumping into the unknown, you know? So, yeah. But
I'm
super excited about this. Yeah. And it's actually being published by a publisher, which is
amazing.
Exciting. Yeah. So I was going to maybe self-publish it. And then just, again, the stars aligned and a publisher reached out to me about a different project illustrating a different deck of cards for someone. And I was like, I'm actually doing my own. And then they were like, let's see it. And so I sent them what I was working on. And they were like, we want to publish it. So yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
I know. It's like so incredible. Yeah.
Because my next question was kind of to get more into the process of that. Kind of when did the idea come about? When did you start working on it? So at the point where the publisher got in touch with you, kind of what have you already done? What did you already have ready to show them?
I already had some of the illustrations and some of the descriptions for them. Like, I'm definitely an illustrator and less a writer, but everything's sort of already in me. It's about like getting it out of me and like filling in the blanks. So it's something, honestly, I've probably started the idea of doing this deck of cards like 4 years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. And I knew it was something I was going to work on, but it was just like not the right time. And then I started working on it again in January, just like very slowly, went through some burnout, working on the podcast. And then once I paused the podcast, once I finished season one, I just started focusing on this. And that's kind of when things came together. So,
yeah, that's incredible. That's just so lovely that it's this, you know, the project that you've worked on for, kind of, that's come from you many years ago. That's kind of now coming to the fore. And I guess it's much easier as well to work on it around Felix.
Yeah.
With the long deadline, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's a longer deadline. It just feels like the way I want to work. Like, I want to have something I could work on for a few months and then not have to rush every day, like can kind of pace myself and then put it out into the world. Like, this is kind of feels like a dream. Like, knocking on wood that
that's amazing.
Drop and something terrible happens. But it does. It really kind of feels like the way I had envisioned things. So very grateful.
And it's really interesting because of course with this deck, you're again, you know, you're drawing, illustrating the things that we can't see. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, what's your process like for it? And kind of, you mentioned at the start of our conversation, you mentioned, working out your own symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you go about that? Because it's really difficult.
Yeah. It's so fun and so hard. I feel like it's just such a mix. And I think like each image kind of comes about in its own way. Like, sometimes I see inspiration out in the world, or I see like looking through other artists, just something like triggers something. Or I'll just be on a walk and like the image will pop in my mind. But it's, in that case, it's usually like I have to like still piece it together because it's like there's so many holes in it. Like, it seems so complete in your mind, but then when you try to recreate it, it's like, oh, this is missing a lot of pieces, like a dream almost. And a lot of stuff has been coming to me recently when reading, actually. Like reading.
And is that the kind of on psychology and on the themes you're interested in?
Yeah, like a lot of like, I'm reading a book called The Practice of Personal Transformation. It's this book from the 80s by this Jungian analyst. And just reading that, it's just like so much comes to me visually. And then, it comes in all kinds of ways. It's like I have to just like kind of trigger something and then like get it down in my notebook.
I guess you need to catch it kind of whilst it's there as well.
Yeah, it's like, gets really exciting when it happens. Like, oh, here it is.
And do you have any practices, whether it's kind of a creative routine, I'm thinking about kind of maybe spiritual routine or around self-actualization, that help you tune in more into that creativity that just kind of then comes to you?
Yeah, I'm pretty bad about having a routine. I usually just do things.
Well, no wonder with a 2-year-old, so
meditation, journaling, all those things are like incredible, but I'm really bad about like doing them daily or even like weekly. But yes, journaling, meditation. I talked to a therapist. I have a creative coach right now.
Oh, amazing. How's that going? Is that a new thing?
Yeah, it's a new thing. It's to sort of like help me get back into my career, I guess, post-baby. It's been amazing. And again, like the timing has been perfect for it because this coach has created a couple decks of her own. And so like working with her at this time, she's been like a huge help for me working with trying to figure out like the contract for the publisher and stuff. So yeah, I do a ton of reading too when I can. I don't have like a routine really. It's like just kind of all over the place, but it's one of those things where I know if I had a routine, I would just be like doing so much better. But oh, you know, another thing is like I love listening to podcasts as well. So it's just like a mix of things, I guess, and I mix and match when I need them.
That's right, because you know, yeah. I know when I send notes, you know, I ask about journaling, meditation, but it's everybody has a different thing because it can be a run for someone.
Yeah.
You know, or exactly. It can be a really tough, quick cycle. It can be anything.
Yeah. Even just like lighting a candle, you know, before you start working, just kind of set an intention.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do that?
Sometimes. Again, it's like usually I'm like, all right, this is my time to work. I'm opening my stuff and starting to work.
I'm asking because the space where we're in there, so this is where I work. God, like I'm here all day basically because I might do work, but like non-creative kind of work, all the admin stuff. But then at the same desk, I'll be doing all the creative stuff.
Yep.
And I had to get a candle. And there's certain like music maybe that I listen to that I will not listen when doing business and admin, just so that it feels different, because otherwise it's the same room kind of through day to day for all those things. And I think I didn't appreciate it before. I remember I used to be the person who, when people said, you know, put a candle on, it'll relax you, I just never believed it. And I thought it's just like a silly thing. And then I found this candle that smells like paper and ink, and it's incredible.
So nice.
Right, so not fruit, not flowers, it actually smells like the thing that we love, which is paper and pen.
Yeah, I love the smell of paper.
yeah, and that's actually really helped to kind of ground me. But
that's so great. Yeah. No, that's so good to find the thing that kind of like helps, because I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm in my bedroom right now. This is like, the desk is in my bedroom. Like we have like a one bedroom apartment in San Francisco, and Felix has the bedroom, and we like, our bedroom is the dining room. So it's just like, it's just, we're, yeah.
It's hard, isn't
it? It's hard to separate.
It's just really hard. Yeah.
It is. So like those little hacks are good.
Yeah. Especially when you think, so if you were doing editorial again, still, and you have Felix next door, you're in your bedroom, which is should be that, you know, sacred kind of relaxed rest space. And you're working on a really rushed editorial. It's, it can mess it up a bit, can't it?
Yeah.
And I want to talk more about your interests. So I've just noted psychology, philosophy, physics, science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a lot. Tell me about kind of, when did those interests start for you? And were they always kind of going hand in hand with your creative work as well?
Gosh. Psychology is like one that is, I think what opened the door to psychology for me was like doing the Myers-Briggs test when I was 25 and finding out what my type was, and then reading the description, it was like a biography of me.
Okay. What type are you?
I'm an INFJ. And
okay, noted.
It was just one of those things where I was never able to describe who I was or what I was feeling. And then I read the description and was like crying. was like, this is,
oh wow, that's so powerful.
This is describing me. How is this possible? And then after that, I was just really interested in personality types. And then that sort of led into like an interest in Carl Jung, which was like just everything kind of like came together. When I became an illustrator, like the whole like personal development aspect came into it because I had to grow a lot to become a freelancer. I had to do a lot of work on believing in myself and working through limiting beliefs. And so I listened to like a lot of podcasts around that and building your business stuff. Science fiction, I've been interested in that. My brother was always like really into like Stanley Kubrick when I was younger. Like he's always had like really cool taste. And so like 2001 A Space Odyssey, like A Clockwork Orange. And I've been into science fiction since I was younger. Just super interested in more like cerebral stuff, like rather than the like battles and violence. Just really interested in like the philosophy of what everything is, you know, like what is all this and why are we here and how can we live meaningful lives and happy lives. So,
and how did you feel when you first started to kind of open the doors to psychology, to those more cerebral questions as well? Because it can sometimes be overwhelming as well.
Yeah,
I realize you're not sure about much anymore.
I love it. It was like, I was like, give me more. Like, I just kept consuming podcasts and books. And it's just, it's like one of those things where it just clicked for me. And I was like, these are the conversations I want to be having. These are like, this is what I want to know. I just saw this, headline the other day for an article, and I didn't read the article, but it was like, want to have a meaningful life, dive deep into a subject or something. And that's how I felt. I felt like as I was exploring that, I felt like my life was becoming more meaningful. And so I had this like passion for illustration and art and design, and then this other passion for psychology and philosophy. And so I was like, how do like these things are different, like how do these come together? And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like blending the two.
You have done it. They have come together.
Thank you. Yeah, for a while it was like a real struggle. I was like, I just didn't see it. Then I realize it's me, like I'm how they come together. So,
yeah, it's fascinating. And I think that lots of creatives who are listening, they, because it resonates already with me as well, it's really hard to see from your own perspective what mm-hmm. you're doing. Yeah. And like you say, I don't know if you had that as well, but I had this thing when I'm still starting out, but just really starting out when I had this idea of the illustrator I will be, or the idea of what I'll be interested in drawing. And then the stuff that started to come out is completely different. It feels right, but it's not what I kind of dreamt up or imagined.
Yep. Yeah, you just like can't know when you start your journey what will happen. Like you just can't plan, you know? Like so many more doors open and people come into your life. And as you like are connecting with a deeper version of yourself too, it's like you're peeling off the layers that the personas and the layers that you thought that were important, you know, and you're connecting with your actual deeper interests. And yeah, that's so wonderful.
If you were to kind of advise somebody, like what your advice would be to find it, to find that thing that you kind of meant to do. Yeah.
Just I would say create like a sacred space, whether that's like a time, like time in the day or time and space to just get away and do the thing that's like most interesting to you. Like whether or not it's going to make money, maybe it's just reading books or writing in your journal or writing poetry or drawing. Just explore the thing that is like, that you really want to do, and like following that trail will lead you to yourself.
That's beautiful. And then that can lead to so many other things, but it's just such a lovely point about starting in that place of just what you love, not where it might go to or how, but just, yeah, with the honesty, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like creating a boundary around it. And if you don't have support in your life where people would be supportive of you, if they're going to make fun of you for doing it, just don't tell anyone about it. You know, give yourself an hour a day where you just don't talk to anyone and do it. Yeah. Cause it's, I remember being so lost and not, I just like knew, I was like, I know it's illustration. And that took me a while too.
Tell us more about it. So were you a full-time graphic designer?
I was a user experience designer working on, I was in the tech industry working on different apps and stuff. And just anytime I was able to do illustrations in it, like that was my favorite time. I would just like find a little corner in the office and put on a podcast and just illustrate all day. That was like heaven for me. But I still didn't know that's what I wanted to do. I think it like one day I realized that everyone I followed on Instagram was in, besides my friends and family, everyone was an illustrator.
That's quite telling.
It just clicked. It was like no one else is following illustrators unless they're, yeah. It just clicked and I was like, I have to do this. I have no contacts in the illustration industry. Like the design industry is so different. Like, you know, it's just a very, especially user experience design. It's just a different world. I had saved up some money. And so I quit my job and just kind of like took the leap and gave myself, I freelanced doing graphic design and UX for about 6 months and then slowly sort of transitioned to illustration more. And there was like a year where I barely worked, but my husband was so supportive. I couldn't have done it without that support, and just slowly built, you know how it is. It's like just one project here, one project there, and then you don't have projects for 2 months, and then you have three at once, and then you're like questioning yourself and so much self-doubt, but excitement too, and stress, because when the company does hire you, it's like, oh my God, can I do this? And like, I have to do it in 3 days. And yeah, so just slowly built my illustration career.
And do you remember your first commission?
Yes, my first like real commission was for Nautilus magazine. And that was like a dream client of mine. And so excited. I remember getting the email. I used to check every morning. I would check my emails like right when I woke up to see if anyone emailed me, because I was sending out tons of emails to art directors and just like they were going into the abyss. So I remember I like was like, I'll just check my email because I'm an optimist. So I was like, got an email from Nautilus and they're like, can you do 3 illustrations? And I just like stood up in bed and was like, yeah, I was like so excited. And then was like, oh my God, am I good enough? And then, you know, start questioning yourself. But yeah, that was my first commission. And then soon after that, I got a commission from Refinery 29 to do some portraits. And then, yeah, so that was kind of my starting point.
That's awesome. And I think it's worth talking more about the abyss, because when you start out, the abyss is huge. And that's my experience, but it sounds like I'm not the only one. And I was worried I'm the only one. Where you feel like things are going well on like the surface and they look good and everybody's really positive. But then on the commercial side, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, what's going on? Is this normal or am I just missing something?
No, but that's totally normal.
That's the abyss. That it goes out there, it disappears, but hopefully seeds are planted somewhere.
Yeah. It's a numbers game. Like, you just have to send out like 100 emails into the abyss to get like four back, you know? And then eventually one of those will lead to a project. And I had, so funny, like I got an email back like 4 years after I sent an email.
What?
Like I got, they wanted to hire me to do a project 4 years later. So you just never know.
really haven't managed their inbox well, have they?
It's like, I think they like just stick you in a file of like potential.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, maybe we use this. They never responded to be like, thanks for sending the email or anything. They just probably put me in a file somewhere. And then we're like, oh yeah, there's that one girl, right? Or they saw something along the way and was, you know, saw something that I had done and didn't even know I had emailed them. You just never know.
Yeah. And in terms of promotion and what and kind of getting work, what would you say has worked best for you? Is it social media? Is it emails? Is it doing the work that you want to get?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the best thing you can do is do the work you want without just commission yourself. Do the work you want to be making, put it on social media, put it on your website, and then email people and just keep making. Because like once you tap, there's like a magnetic zone. And if you just keep making stuff, like you're getting closer to it. And then once you get there, people see you. They're like, oh, okay, she is like on her game. Like she knows what she's making now. And it takes a while to get there because at first you're like exploring your style and kind of copying people. And like, and then you start to get closer and closer. So it's just like you're peeling off the layers, right? And then, and in the meantime, you're getting better and you're getting faster. So when you do get a commission, you're ready for it.
Because you can actually do it, that's right.
Yeah, because if you got a commission from the New York Times, you know, the first month you're freelancing, how stressful would that be, you know?
Like, yeah, you'd go very fast from the very high to a lot of anxiety immediately.
Yes, like, are my sketches good enough? You know, how does this work? I think just like the slow build of like, doing personal work, even if you have jobs, just like make time for personal work, keep exploring that, put that out there, and then you'll get hired to do that work the more you put it out there.
That's excellent advice. And we're slowly wrapping up, and I wanted to talk to you more about the becoming a mom and coming back into creativity, I guess. And we talked about a little about kind of how you want to work now, but also how do you feel now about your work and kind of how do you want to spend your days with such limited time, but also being that different person now?
I guess like for me, there was a lot of ego involved in when I was doing editorial work. It was like, I want to work for this client. And if I work for this client, then I'll have proven to myself that I've made it. And I'll be able to put it out into the world that I'm working for this company. And I feel like now it's more like I've shed so much of my ego. Like I've had to really humble myself, becoming a mom. And there's obviously still ego there, but it doesn't really matter to me. I've gotten a lot of commissions since becoming a mom that companies I never thought I would turn down, where I've just been like, I just can't do it. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that they reached out to me, and it was really hard to say no, but I just had to focus on the bigger picture. And I'm like, okay, if I'm saying no to these people who 2 years ago I'd be like so excited to be working for, then what am I saying yes to? And I just I'm saying yes to me, I guess. I'm like, why I'm here. And why do I love illustration and why do I love personal development? You know, it's this combination, and it's I really need to invest in that. And
so, and we know that it will manifest in autumn next year with your first deck.
Yeah, so that comes out in the fall of next year. And so keep an eye out for that.
What are other things that not necessarily have in the pipeline, but that you have been drawn to? Kind of combining, putting yourself first and your creativity and your purpose.
Well, I feel like this project is like a synthesis of the last few years for me. And it's like, I just feel so grateful because it's the one thing, if I had any choice of what to work on, it's the one thing I would want to work on. So I feel like everything, the stars kind of aligned, and I'm so thankful. And I just kind of feel like I have to get it out of me. And it's like, there really aren't any ideas, right now for other projects, because it's just like this, I just have to put everything into this right now. And then almost like it's the completing a cycle or something.
Yeah, that sounds dreamy and sounds like just exactly, it sounds like you're full with it. And mm-hmm. There's not space, you just said, for nothing else. So it needs to come out, it needs to kind of be manifested in the world.
Yeah, before and I can even know what's next.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And it's really nice as well to hear how you're managing it, but also honoring it in terms of giving it your full attention. Because I think we are often used to, maybe kind of with social media as well, going quite fast or wanting to go quite fast.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe... Yeah. I'm speaking from experience as well, you know, and not quite taking time on things sometimes.
Yeah. And I definitely have to move fast with this, because it's 52 illustrations. Well,
wow.
I mean, you just did 100 for your gratitude project. So, which is incredible.
Yeah. But you've seen them all, you know, they're of various quality.
I'm so impressed. It's very consuming. So I have to move fast because it's illustrations and writing and, it's kind of I'm putting a lot of boundaries around it and just focusing on this and really trying to be present when I'm working on it and just follow my intuition with it. When I have an idea for an illustration, work on that. When I feel like writing, work on that. It feels really good.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you. And we'll be all looking forward to playing with the cards, using the cards, and all kind of getting better within ourselves as well. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing what you've been up to and through as well in a kind of very open way, because I think we need that quite a lot now, because often we feel like we're going through things just on our own.
Yeah.
Whilst we're all in this together.
Yes, we are. It does feel so isolating right now. So, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I can't believe time flew. I could talk to you for so much longer. But
Alison has just such an amazing calm energy about her, and I hope you felt it in our chat too. I felt very relaxed, kind of cozy, because it was getting dark in London and I really loved catching up, and I'm just so excited about Alice's deck, and it was really amazing to learn her story that kind of ended up with her doing the deck with a publisher, and how that was very much her personal project, personal interests from outside of illustration coming together. And I wonder if you have that too, where you have your, whether it's visual or writing pursuit, design, but then you have lots of other interests outside of it, and how those seep into your work. I'd love to know. So do get in touch and kind of let me know how that works out for you. And that's it for this week. And we have a few more episodes coming up before our winter break. And I wanted to let you know as well that I'm already thinking about having a special series in February that will focus on the business side of things, about how we connect to our clients, how to win on social media, how to PR yourself, and also thinking about branding, because I think it's very important, not at all only when you're starting out, to keep what you're doing relevant, fresh, but also kind of hitting the right people. Doesn't sound quite right, does it? reaching the right people, and especially as the times change and PR changes, social media changes, I think it'll be really good for us to catch up and kind of have that month of just refocusing on how we do things. And before you go, whilst I have you here still, please rate and review the pod in your podcast app. It helps a lot to grow our community. And you can share this episode on your Insta stories as well to help spread the word. Remember to tag me at Justina Green so that I can repost it too. And of course, you can visit the podcast website at ondesignpodcast.com and check out my illustrations at justinagreen.com. Right, I'll see you here next week. And this time we'll be chatting about architecture. Bye for now.